a little bit of talking about. So how do one certified financial planner or a planner out there that would like to incorporate the counseling, the coaching as part of their business? What should somebody who wants to do that, where should they actually start?
Yeah, so I think two things about that. The first one is to really do that self-assessment. You know, what are you really good at? And you know, people are fortunate now. When I started, everybody looked at me like I was crazy. Oh, you'll never make a living doing financial planning for poor people. Let's just do this pro bono thing. And so that's how I ended up writing the first pro bono training for financial planners, because everybody thought the only way poor people were going to get financial planning was through pro bono efforts. And, you know, did I take a harder path? Sure. You know, I was broke for a long time. I struggled financially for a long time.
But we learned from that experience, right?
And so, but here's the thing. So what I did was I did a sliding scale. Now, Cheryl Garrett has, of course, you know, the Garrett Planning Network.
Right.
That wasn't getting a lot of traction back then. People weren't, you know, people were saying, oh, well, yeah, I like it. I like the concept, but I can't make a living. And Cheryl was saying back then, that's not true. You can make a living. You can make a living doing hourly financial planning. And so now, of course, we know that all of that is possible. So, you know, fast forward 15 years, now we know how to do it. The question becomes, what works best? I think some firms, they learn it themselves. So some practitioners, solo practitioners, they learn coaching skills. They learn how to manage, you know, that's why the AFC is such a good complement, right? So people who do the AFC and the CFP, it's such a good complement because they can address the personal finance needs of anyone, anywhere along the spectrum. From people
Correct.
Who are dead broke
Correct.
To people who are really, really wealthy. And
Right.
so that's one way you can be self-contained and do it all yourself. You can also collaborate and partner with someone. If you really love the plan and you just want to crank out that beautiful plan and then kick it over to somebody to help with the implementation, you can hire, you can partner, you can collaborate in many different ways to be able to do that. The key there is making sure that the counselor or the coach does not step out of their lane, right?
That's true.
I am not
they have to stay in their lane.
Everybody's got to stay in their lane. I am not a financial planner. I am trained as one. I teach financial planners. I mentor financial planners. I do not personally do financial planning. So one of the reasons people feel comfortable referring their clients to me is that they know that I'm not competition for their work. Nor would I ever diminish or demean the importance of financial planning. I think everybody should have a comprehensive financial plan, irrespective of how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think the less you have, the better your plan has to be, right? Some people think that when you have less, you don't need as much. I don't think that that's true.
And I think that brings out a very good point where, this industry tend to, and I'm speaking about, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago when they bring on so many independent advisors. So we're trying to help people become a generalist.
Yes.
And then not knowing that, you know, what for all kind of medical condition, you have specialists to go to. So does financial planning, right? So each one of the planners and advisors out there has that niche and has a specialty. Mm-hmm. If this is something, the coaching and counseling is not something that you're willing to do, partner with somebody, right? You have a partnership that you refer clients back and forth. Or if you wanted to do this all by yourself, sure, go through the certification process, get yourself trained, and figure it out from a compliance perspective and how to get compliant approved to do things like that. So I think that the key message that I have been telling people is that you have to remember you don't have to pick and choose, but you have to decide.
Yes.
Are you going to be a generalist or are you going to leverage the partnerships that's available out there for you? And I think that many people probably don't know that there's options.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the main aspects, is that people think there's only one way to do it. And, you know, if my career path does nothing else, I think that what it has done is taught people that you can make a living doing exactly what makes your heartbeat fast.
That's,
you know,
right.
I don't do that's anything right. that I don't want to do. I do
right.
zero work that I don't want to do.
Sounds very luxury, but it does.
It has its moments.
It
has taken, you know, I would say it took me about 10 years, but here's the thing. People don't have the hurdles now that I had then. There are mentors now. There's me
right.
now. There are, you know, Dominique is doing his thing. There's, you know, Cheryl Garrett, you know, there are a lot of people who have things that just didn't exist when I was starting. And so what I think that people can do, and what I think is the greatest service that we can do for ourselves, is to take that personal inventory first. So all of my classes, whenever I teach, mm-hmm. all of my students start with, who are you? You know, what are you doing?
You know, I guess when you ask that questions when you're younger, it's a lot easier to answer. As you get, like me, older, that it is harder to face that type of questions, right? It is not a, it's not a test. People have to remember, this is not a test.
Right.
This
and,
is,
and only you know the right answer.
Right.
Even
right.
if it were
no
a test, only you know, right.
and it's really trying to figure out what makes you work passionately, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you can still make a living for it.
Yes.
And so there are so many different ways. Let me switch gear for a moment. And I know Dominic is on the line, so I would love to have him talk a few seconds or minutes if possible. But let's talk a little bit about the certification process. I know that many people yeah. online today that wanted to find out. So what do people need to do? I know that yeah. at California Lutheran University, we just recently became the registered program.
Yeah, it's for the AFC.
AFC.
Yeah.
So we're very excited, and we're going to be jointly developing the course with you. So I'm very excited for that. And so walk us through, if someone who is interested of doing so, what should they do?
Yeah, so first of all, I think certification is crucial. And the reason for that is there are a whole bunch, I mean, right now we live in a situation where anyone who has ever paid a bill thinks they're a financial expert. You know, and I mean, oh, I paid off my student loans in 6 months and here's what you do. And, you know, I am appreciative of the enthusiasm that people have about personal finance. I'm concerned that people think because I did it, it now will work for you. I think, number one, that that's a mistake. No two people have the same situation.
That's
and
true.
Even if their situations are similar, I can't take off the shelf someone else's financial plan and apply it in my life and expect it to be a perfect fit. So, and the biggest thing, and it's so funny, someone was saying this to me the other day, that, you know, there's so many people out there right now who are investment experts, and they're giving you tips. They got tips, and they want you to take the tips, and they're
especially
not
on the TVs. Time special.
Yes, yes. And now it's like they're not talking about the tax implications.
No.
They're not talking about what happens to capital gains when you buy and sell.
Right.
They're not talking about it. And it's because they don't know. And so for me, the certification is crucial because we have got to be better as a profession. We have got to be excellent. And we've got to set a standard and hold that standard so that consumers know what they can expect from us. And not only with education, but in experience and in ethics. So I have a partnership with AFCP as well, which I'm sure you know.
That's right, yeah.
And so I'm really excited to be, when I first joined this profession, I didn't even know there was an AFCPE, and they were around.
Right.
They've been around 30 years.
They have. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't even know they existed back then when I was spending $40,000 for a master's degree. but I think that what that offers, having that AFC, offers you the opportunity to not only understand the full financial life cycle, right? That which you get the CFP course, right? You look at the full Correct. Financial life cycle. The AFC also gives you understanding debt, really digging in deep in budgets. Because, you know, when I went through the master's program, you know, we did a cash flow statement, but we didn't dig deeply into budgets because they just don't do that for wealthy people, right? So now we understand.
Or even if you do it, it's not in that level of details, if
right,
you will.
Right. Yeah. And so the AFC does that, right? And so, and you understand credit and you know how credit scores work and you understand the home buying process. So you really have the opportunity to understand the entire life cycle. Of course, not the depth of the CFP, but definitely the breadth. You understand, as my dad used to say, from kiva to kiva, right, beginning to end, what that financial life cycle is. So that's what the AFC will do for you. It also teaches the counseling skills. Mm-hmm. The coaching skills are going to focus more on, so in the financial fitness coach, we don't do financial content. You're expected to have your content when you come. Right. So the FFC, I created that in 2007, but it was a workshop, you know, it was a workshop at that time. And what I was having to do was teach all the financial content and all the coaching content. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted. And so partnering with the AFCPE, what that allowed me to do was trust that they covered the content. All I have to do was work on the skills. And so that's completely a practicum style course. You practice, you record, there's mentor coaching, all of that. And then of course the CFP, where you now we have cases, we have to do the cases and we have to do a practicum in the CFP programs. So those certifications allow you not only to understand the content, but to understand the content in practice. Right. And that's where things break down. Right? I mean, the knowledge part is easy. Anybody can pick up a personal finance book and get information. The question becomes, how does that information live in my life? And that's something, no matter how good of a financial planner you are or how brilliant of an expert you are, you don't know why people don't do what they say they want to get where they want to go. And so back to your original question, can we influence behavior? Can we change behavior? I don't think we can change behavior. I don't know about you, but I have enough trouble changing my own behavior, let alone anyone else's. So when Sandra can get Sandra's behavior together, then I can start thinking about what I can do for other people.
Only if I can stop stress eating.
You and I both, right?
Maybe I'll have a solution.
No, exactly. But what I can do is support you in really looking at what are the obstacles and the opportunities, and what do you have to do to achieve what you say you want. Now, if I'm sitting with a client and their credit score is in the tank and they're not managing their money well, and you know their relationships are on the brink as a result of, you know, family distress around money, my focus is going to be, tell me what you can do right now to feel a sense of direction about what you want your life to look like. So that's going to be where I start, where a counselor might say, you know, let's get a grip on this cash flow. Neither one of those is wrong or right.
Right.
Right. It's what is that individual who's sitting with you, or as it now, who's Zooming with you, what does that individual need to be able to get on the path? And then the coaching helps them to stay on the path.
And I think that's, and first off, thank you for the years of establishing a framework for many of us who wanted to have this kind of skill set, and especially me, that I recognizing how lacking that I was in terms of asking the right questions and coaching the clients, but I do know that I have to hold them accountable. But without that proper training, it's hard. I know that at least for our master program, that for someone who is going through the CFP path, that they are also, by taking one more class with the financial counseling, they will qualify to sit for the AFC exam. So then they are properly trained. But I think that most of us will agree that from a true financial planning perspective, the CFPs oftentimes are very lacking in the debt portion of it.
Yeah.
We know our own debt, but we don't know enough if someone who is is living off debt. Right.
And there's a difference. And Doc, that's the point that you bring up, I think, is so crucial, because the CFP program, and it's not to knock it, it's a wonderful program, as we know. It treats debt as what it was designed to be, leverage for wealth building.
Correct.
What the AFC, though, does is say, okay, how is debt fitting into your life? Right. And are you using it, like you say, to live on? And if so, what adjustments might you need to make? So, you know, it's just, it's a different perspective. And for me, the thing that's so exciting about doing the AFC at Cal Lutheran now is that being able to take it as a course allows you to, anybody can go to the AFCPE website and log in and, you know, buy the course and get the books and do a self-study. They have wonderful webinars and those kinds of things. The difference of taking it at a university, though, is that you get to interact with the information in real time. You're talking with your fellow students about it. You're hearing from your professors about it. And, you know, most folks who take a class from me end up having to work with a client. So I haven't talked about that part yet. So they actually have to do
the
practical.
We have talked about that to be, you know, factored into the course itself. So that's to be continued.
Yeah, because that's so important, right? It's one thing to read something and know it. I mean, just like you, I mean, you're an amazing CFP. And the fact that you're transparent enough to say, you know, I didn't really know that I needed to ask questions differently.
Right.
You know, and now I know better. And so now, but here's the fact. As we know, when we're talking with clients and their money, knowing better does not mean doing better. We can have people who know and don't do. But the thing is, they can't do better if they don't know better. So as a counselor or coach, we're helping them know better and then do better.
And so for someone who, and this might be where Dominic can chime in if you're willing to, for someone who has a practice, whether or not they're on the path to go on to the CFP or on the path for something else, what would you recommend? Hi, Dominic. Very nice to meet you. I heard a lot about you. So what would someone actually need to do to get started?
And the question again, I'm sorry.
If someone already in the business wanted to have something to do with the counseling and coaching, perhaps if they are on the way to get their CFP, what would you recommend them to do? Understanding there are several different type of business models.
Yeah, I know. And I think you guys only have like 17 more minutes left. So I think at a high level, the person really needs to understand what they want to do. I always say, start with your why, which inevitably introduces you to the who, maybe a mentor or a coach, which then gives you the how. Because you can imitate, just like everyone learn how to ride a bike by looking at somebody else or tie their shoes by looking at somebody else. I think it's no different here, where you need to find someone that you aspire to or that's doing something similar to what your, you know, maybe your passion is or your skill set is. And then going down that path, going at it alone typically is the hard way, as we can all probably attest to. I would strongly recommend in getting into groups like, you know, FPA or Quad A, you know, trade and professional organizations. You know, FPA has like, what, 80 chapters. I have a free community that I try to virtually merge mentor and coach as much as I can. So I think finding, you know, pockets like that inside the industry are some of the best ways to find out where you're going to be in your highest best use or find your superpower, as I would say.
I love that you combined mentor and coach into merch. I thought that was really good.
That's a new word.
I think merch worked. I liked it. I liked it.
Okay, I like
mentor
really
coach.
Cool.
I'm a merch.
Coining phrases is part of what I do. Yes.
But the reason that I like that you invited Dominique into the conversation is that I often get questions that, you know, where do I start? What do I do? You know, because to take all of these courses and to do what we're saying is necessary to be effective is an investment. It's an investment in yourself and an investment in your business model. And so being able to be in a community where you can learn from each other, you know, I only have so much time that I can offer to people. And of course, everybody wants one-on-one time with me. And I just can no longer do that. So teaching at Cal Lutheran is going to be a way for me to be able to support, love that bell, support the students in creating the pathway that is satisfying. I can't tell you the number of people that I had teaching at Golden Gate who started out in 420, the survey class, who by the end of the survey class are like, you know, this really isn't for me. Had I known then what I know now, the AFC would have been perfect for them.
Right.
You know, I hadn't built the FFC yet, so, but the AFC would have been perfect for them. And then Dominique, one of the things that I appreciate about what he does is that he doesn't assume everyone is going to be a financial planner or an advisor. You know, there's this, they might be an educator, they might be a counselor, they might be a coach. And there are just so many ways that we can make a living now that I think we might have even been discouraged from before. You know, I know folks who join the AFC, there are some like the CFPB, that project that I did, they required the AFC and the FFC. So getting that AFC opens up job opportunities that, you know, maybe we didn't even know existed, you know, 10 years ago.
And I know that even on the federal or military levels, that they are people who dedicated to service the servicemen and women on the financial area, and most of them are AFC. They may have CFP, but they definitely do have AFC or some other type of counseling certifications. So thank you, Dominic, for suggesting having that group type of environment to get more exposures and perhaps get some feedback from people who've been there, like you guys. I learn best from mistakes, I guess. But people don't have to do that, really, because, you know, you've had built that path, clearly helping more advisors, more planners to get on the bandwagon, because at the end of the day, if you're really truly looking at the business models, it does make sense. You do want it to have some sort of different type of revenue coming in. But I Absolutely. Do believe that implementation oftentimes at the end of the financial planning does get into the way of the coaching and counseling. So I do believe that we do need to have that mentioned very early on. So clients clearly know that there are two different type of services, well, maybe three, that I don't know if Dominic or Sandra, that you agree or not, but I do believe that clients need to know early on that there are separate type of services, separate purposes for doing such work.
Absolutely. And I don't know if Dominique wants to say anything about that, but I'll tee it up by saying it is unfair to the client to change the expectation in the middle of the stream. So when I have my first conversation with a client to make sure that we're a good fit, I don't get a lot of information from them in the beginning. I get enough to understand whether or not I can meet their needs. And then I tell them, this is what it would be like to work with me. And I want them to know that, number one, I only work with folks who are ready to take action. I just don't have the time or the inclination to work with people who want something that sits on their desk. You know, they have to be ready to take action, and because they're wasting their money and my time.
That's true. Know?
And my time is really expensive now. I used to be, you know, I had a lot of broke years. I had a lot of broke years where I was making $20 an hour. And I was a 50-year-old woman making $20 an hour. Right. And so it is not that anymore. But the more important aspect is I don't want to waste my time or theirs. And this is why I also say to financial planners, you know, think of the notion of calling yourself a financial coach. Think of that notion in the context of not diminishing financial planning is so important. It is a crucial service. And to throttle it back, I'm not saying that there's not a place for financial planning light. A lot of people are doing that and calling it coaching. That's fine. But comprehensive financial planning is imperative if people are going to move from where they are to where they want to be, particularly low and moderate income people. People who already have tons of money, you know, will it affect them in the same way? Maybe, maybe not. But for people who have less, having a comprehensive financial plan can mean everything. It can mean everything, not only for them, but for the generations coming behind them. So as professionals, we have to be excellent. We have to have that FFC, AFC, CFP, and going to you know, universities that are reputable and are going to make sure that you not only know how to pass a test, but you understand how to pass the truest test of all is, are your clients being served, truly served? And I think that that's why this work is so important. And I love that Dominique has his free group that people can, you know, struggle. I struggled. You know, I just struggled and there wasn't anybody. You know, I was fortunate that, you know, folks like you and, you know, I could lean on you all about what is possible, but there was nobody other than Luis Barajas. Luis Barajas was the only person who felt my struggle, you know, because he had some
in
of
the
that.
Southern California area.
Exactly. Yes. And so, you know, he understood what it was like to do planning for poor people.
Right.
So yeah, I think this is
his entire career just to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know these are exciting times. You know, so for the folks entering the program, you know, you really do get to create your own magic. You know,
you're right. Years and years ago, this is not an option that you can consider, but today there's so many different options, and definitely teaming up with expert like you and Dominic. There's the potential is really unlimited in this case. We are just right around the corner of finishing up. So I do have to kind of get moving it with this. And so Dominic, if it's all possible, I'm going to reach out to you, get your contact information, and I'm going to put Sandra and Dominic's information on our blog website. Once we get the recording, we'll have them there. So for those folks that who are interested about Dominic's free group or even FPA's group, you have a place that you can at least contact. And I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor back to Josiah. So thank you, Sandra, and thank you, Dominic, for such a wonderful conversation. I definitely will do this one more time or at least more times, because I think that there's a lot more that we haven't touched on. We just barely touch on the stuff that we need to talk about today, but we'll definitely talk more in the future session. So Josiah, I'm going to turn the floor back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Ann Davis, and everyone else who
questions. Josiah, I think that you are having some internet connection issue. You want to try it one more time? I can hear you, but it's just kind of on and off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks again, Dr. Jen. So glad to have you both for today's session for the California University.
Okay, let me read the rest of the material. So it sounds like you're having some internet connection issues. So thank you, Sandra, and thank you, Dominic. And
thank you so much.
Glad to have you today for our Next Gen Mentoring Forum. And thank you for California Lutheran University School of Management Financial Planning Program for sponsoring today's session. And here, I just wanted to quickly remind everyone that at California Lutheran University School of Management, we do offer Master of Business Administration as well as Master of Science in Financial Planning. Helps planners or advisors pursue a leadership position or growing their financial planning practice by deploying advanced financial planning, effective client communication, counseling, streamlined practice management, as well as leveraging fintech. So please sign up for our upcoming info session if you wanted to learn more about the master program. Our next webinar, I have the honor to interview Ms. Carrie Backstrom. who is the expert in communicator, on September the 18th, 1 p.m. Pacific time, about the topic of how to use effective communication to lead clients. So I hope to see you all very soon. Until next time, everyone, stay safe and healthy, and we'll see you soon. Take care. Thank you.